Welcome to the LYC Podcast. We are a youth community that believes in loving people and meeting them where they are. Our desire is that through this message, God's love for you is confirmed, your hope in Jesus is renewed, and your faith is awakened.
Open your Bibles tonight to Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. If you brought a Bible and journal and you're taking notes, go ahead at the end of service and at the end of small groups, get you something from the store for free, and then next week, if you also bring your Bible and journal, you'll also get something for free. So, hey, bring your Bibles and journals, take notes. I'm a person, I love physical Bibles. Like, I love my phone. Like, believe me, I'm in my phone Bible more than I am in this, but I need to get more in this because it's so easy to get in my phone. Not shaming any one of you guys. The words are going to be on the screen, but let's be Bible people. Let's be people who bring our Bibles to church. I know this, that reading and studying our Bibles is the greatest way to get closer to God. So we're in a brand new series tonight called Make Your Faith Your Own. And I love this graphic. Caitlin made this for us, and it looks so clean and so cool. Well, it wasn't Canva. No, it wasn't. It was Caitlin. She hand drew everything. Guys, we're in a brand new series called Make Your Faith Your Own. And the heart of this series really is making our relationship with God our own, because that's the purpose of it. It should be not our mom's faith. This ain't your grandma's faith. This is your faith. Can someone just say, this ain't my grandma's faith? My grandma's faith. This ain't granny's faith. All right? I know granny's making biscuits, and I love me some granny's biscuits, but I want my faith to be my own. So, verse 12, starting in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says this: Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Go to the next one. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and know that it is God who works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I'm so thankful that it is God who works in us. I'm so thankful that I don't have to strive for perfection. I'm so thankful that it's really not on me to save myself, that it's actually Jesus who died, who came, who died, who rose again, and that it's in his salvation that I am made free. So for you guys, for all of us, we can't save ourselves. That's why we need Jesus' salvation, trusting in his salvation, that he is the only way to freedom. He's the only way to eternity. He is the only way to life and life to the full. I don't want to settle in this life. I don't want you to just be people who the best thing you get is just a little bit of money before you die, and then you just exit. No, I want you guys to have life to the full today. Today in my youth, now in my youth, because this is what I believe in so much. I want us to be people of now and later, and how the now impacts the later for good. So that's the kind of the heart of this message. The title of today's message is this: It's Not Temporary. Someone say, it's not temporary. It's not temporary. So it's not temporary. I want to talk to you guys tonight how our goal or our heart really should be, that our faith or our belief that we have in God and his son Jesus, that it's not just something that is temporary. It's not just something that lasts for a little bit. It's not just something that lasts only in this room. It's not something that lasts just in middle school and high school, but it lasts my entire life. The goal is for this faith, the purpose of us coming here, is that it wouldn't just be for this time of my life now. We are young. You are young. Everyone in this room is young. That's right. Amen. Everyone in this room is young. Don't say, Dusty is young. Don't hate on my man Dusty. In heart, maybe. You saw that video. Every one of us is young in this room. But one day, we're going to be 40 years old. We're going to be One day you're going to be 40 years old and wonder, I was literally just 16. Dusty, I know you're okay, but just no shade, I promise. What I want for you is a faith that doesn't just last a season, isn't just because you're coming to church here in your youth, isn't just because your friends are inviting you to church, isn't just because your mom or your parents are bringing you and waking you up in the morning and reminding you to go to church. What I want for you is for your faith to be your own, so that when you are in your 40s and later, that what God started in your youth, He's faithful throughout. Because this is what I don't want, that this time be the closest you ever get to God. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 says this, it'll be on the screen. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I persuaded is also in you. So this is a guy named Paul who's writing to a young person in the faith. And I love this scripture, because I think of my own life, and I can imagine many of us also relate to this. A faith that was in our parents and our grandparents. And what I know is that for many of us, we have a generational faith. Our parents bring us to church. That's not everybody's faith, maybe not even in this room, but for I don't want to say a majority, but for some of us in this room, we have a faith that was instilled in us from our parents, our grandparents. Like, some of us could probably go back to like 100 years and probably see people who were following after God. And what I think is so beautiful about that is that what a single yes can do and how it can change a generation, how it can not just maneuver, but also impact things for eternity, things that happen years down the road. So your yes for Jesus doesn't just impact you, your life, it also impacts other people's lives. So I love my parents, I love your parents, I love the moms and the dads who are reminding you to come to youth, to be in youth. I'm thankful that there are people in this room who have prayed over you, who have laid hands and have, like, literally, since you were young, have raised you in such a way to try to live for God. So some of us, in a way, kind of have it a little easier because we are raised with Christian parents. We are raised with godly parents who were just trying to help us out and see that we were to follow God. But the truth is, it can't just be our parents' faith. It has to be our own. And we have to decide for ourselves, are we gonna live for God? Because I'm gonna grow up, I'm gonna graduate. This is you. You're gonna grow up, you're gonna graduate, you're gonna be outside of these walls one day. And your mom's not going to remind you to go to church. I'm not going to remind you to read your Bible. I'm not going to be able to remind you all these things. Your faith has to be your own, because it's your intimacy with God, it's your relationship with God that's going to sustain you, that's going to help you in time of need. So be thankful, first of all, for those of you in this room who have parents who have raised you and have encouraged you, but also to those who don't have that as your reality. Those of you who, I'm here and I might be a first generational Christian, or my family, they say they're Christians, but I don't really see. I want you to know that your yes to follow Jesus is so crucial and amazing, and what it can do, not just in your life, but in many people's lives yet to come. There's a saying that goes, we sit in shade from trees we did not plant, and yet we have trees to plant for others. So that's the faith that we're able to have, this good news that we're able to have, this good news of Jesus's salvation of our sins, saving the world. It's not just some superhero story. It's not just some Superman saves the day. No, Jesus came because there is a problem, that problem being sin and death in the grave. And what he wanted to do was remain and get back to us, get back to where we were walking with God, like it shows us in the beginning in the garden, the story that we heard Dusty do so well, the Gen Z version of it. That was the intention, to walk with God. And because of sin entering the world, there is a split. And now, through Jesus, when we die because of our faith and our living for God, now when we die, we get to go back and be with him in heaven. So it is a gift, all the things that God is offering to us. So I kind of got off track. Let me get back to my notes. Point number one is this: if my faith is not my own, it will only be temporary. Like I've already said, there's so much about today that's just kind of like I'm in youth group. Like, that's really helpful. Being at church helps me feel closer to God. My parents bringing me to church helps me be closer to God. My friends reminding me, like, I remember I was probably a junior or senior year. I went to a youth group. I had a great youth group. My youth pastors were amazing. And I remember, like, my senior year, like, all my friends left. Like, literally, like, all my friends who I, like, had so much fun with. Honestly, it wasn't always the best fun, but we would be cutting up in youth. Like, I've talked about it before. Like, my youth pastor was, like, he separated me from my friends because we were having too much fun during service. You guys are great. But I was, like, I could not control myself. I'd be sitting next to my friend, and he'd, you know, your friend be making that one face that just, like, you. It's like when you're in a quiet room and you're not allowed to move or talk or something, you're like, anything will set me off. Like, I get the giggles. Like, I understand. So if that's you guys are doing great, because I don't notice. But I was the student who my youth pastor had to go, hey, Liam, I know y'all are talking too much. Go sit over there. You guys aren't. And I had to go, okay, I'm sorry. So, like, but anyway, my friends left my youth group, not for any, like, big reason. It was just like they all got cars and they just kind of stopped going because there was more fun things to do. But I continued to go because I was there and I knew that there was something in me that wanted more. And I just felt that what God had to give me was more. So you guys have to decide, is my faith my own? Because if my faith is not my own, it will only be temporary. And I don't want you guys to have a temporary faith. And what the text here is saying is that you can make your relationship with, what the text is not saying here is that you can make your relationship with God whatever you want. It's not an opportunity just for you to do whatever you want. I remember in high school, I had a friend who would, like, kind of make fun of me for, like, believing in Jesus. And she'd be like, "You believe in God? That's so stupid." And I'd be like, "What do you believe in?" And she was like, "I believe that God is like a bear that I see in dreams and I follow after, and that's life." And I remember being like, "You making fun of me? Like, are you making fun of me? Like, no, we have very strange minds that are very imaginative. Our culture is great at making everything about us, what we want, what is truth, you know, our truth. Everyone's got our truth, right? I got my truth. Don't step on my toes. Don't step on my truth. And for some of us, for culture, we have to kind of go against that. We have to have a faith that's our own, but also one that's in line with God and his word. There is only one truth. Romans 14:12 says this, that we will give an account to God, that we will be face to face one day with God. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, it'll be on the screens. "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of the Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.'" Basically, "Jesus, we did all this stuff for you." But I will reply, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who breaks God's laws." Here's the thing. You have a responsibility to make your faith your own. Because the truth is, if we don't know Jesus, we don't get to spend eternity with Jesus. That's the biggest truth. Like, that's the reality. if we don't spend time with Jesus now, if our faith isn't our own, God gives us what we want, and he lets us separate ourselves. Point number two is this: working out our own salvation is an invitation to mature. It's an invitation to maturity. You have to be the one to discover the treasures of God. I can stand up here every Wednesday and Sunday and say how awesome God is. But did you know that there's specific things that God wants to share with you that click in your heart, that click in your brain when you open this word? I'm gonna give you some cool points. I'm gonna give you some cool stories. I'm gonna share with you some amazing Bible stories, but there's nothing like making your faith your own and picking up the Bible and discovering what treasure is inside. You have to be the one who picks up that Bible, searches for better understanding. You have to be the one who finds out your favorite worship song. Like, I know that this is such a silly thing, but I remember when I found, like, wow, something about this worship song, it just gets me, like, I feel so closer to God, dude. Like, we have to be the ones that are changing what we're putting in our ears. We have to be the one who are turning off the certain TV shows and movies we're watching. We have to be the ones who are controlling how we're interacting with other people. We have to be the ones at some point to make the decision to pick better friends. Because friends, I love friends. I have many good friends, but there are some friends who do not have my best interest in mind, who want to go their own way. And because my faith is my own, I can't go down that way because I know where that leads you. And I know what the Bible says. And I know that what I want is what God wants. And I can't follow you down that way. We have to be the ones that decide for ourselves who our friends are going to be and be able to make the mature choices going, I have to distance myself because you're actually doing more damage also to yourself, but to me, and I can't let that happen. We have to be the one at some point, be the ones to bring ourselves to church. Mom and dad are not going to be there to take you to church all the time. When you guys are in your 40s and you guys are married and have kids, like, you and your spouse are going to have to be the ones that make the decision to live for God, to have your house be one of God, to make your family built on the foundation of God, to be consistent in going to church because of how good God is and how he blesses us and he blesses a family that's his. You have to be the one to make the choice to not let things get in the way of God. So the last thing I want to talk to you today about is go back to Philippians 2, verse 12. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I kind of want to look at that. What do you mean with fear and trembling? Fear and trembling, that's kind of scary. What do you think? The Bible is a magical thing. What are you talking about fear? And I'm supposed to do this, fear and trembling? Why does it say this? Because this, we have a tendency to make our faith our own in the wrong ways. We make our own way to get off the hook. We make it our own so that we can disconnect rather than connect with truth. We make it our own sometimes and we allow our flesh to have what it wants, our desires, our natural habits to lead our life rather than making our faith our own that is in the truth and alignment that is the Bible. We make it our own so it seems more nice or accepting of others that are not living for God at all. We're actually sometimes distorting the truth that is Jesus, the line that there is in God. And if we don't be careful and make our faith our own the right way, we actually deconstruct and tear down things until we have nothing. If we don't make our faith our own and we allow other things and other factors and, you know, people who aren't living for God, they're saying these, like, we're going to destroy this thing and not know how to build it back up when we need it. The Bible says when you are making your faith your own, be careful. Be careful when you're making, that's what it's talking about, with fear and trembling. Be careful, because hell is real and God is righteous. And if you are not careful, you will make your own faith, the faith that is your own, wrong. And it'll lead you to this, like being deceived and going a direction that's not actually God. Making your faith your own is important. And the last point here, I have to be careful because eternity is real. With fear and trembling, I have to be careful. I have to stay within this word. That's why it's so important to be Bible people, to know what God has said, to know what the writers of Scripture have said, inspired by God. This is God's word written to us. I'm going to read you a couple, two more scriptures just to kind of further kind of what I'm saying, and then we're going to break into small groups. John 4:42 says this, "Then the woman said, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves." Let's be people who hear him ourselves. Let's make our faith our own, because I want to hear him myself. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Make your faith your own so that you can hear it yourself. I love the promise that God gives us when we make our faith our own. I love it because he's faithful. He's giving us truth. And Jeremiah 29:13 says this, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." I love that that's a promise. I love that that's wrapped in invitation. I love that that's, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. That is inviting, that is invitational, that is saying, you can trust me. I want to give myself to you. Follow me. Knock and the door will be open. Come.
We hope you've been inspired by this word. To help awaken your faith on a regular basis, subscribe now so you can be alerted when we have a new message. Thank you so much for listening.